My name is Tony Greenstein. I'm a Jewish anti-Zionist. I'm an activist on Palestine. I'm the author of the book Zionism During the Holocaust. And my claim to credit is being the first Jewish person to be expelled from the Labour Party.
Now, you've had some issues down in Brighton recently with this guy Ivor Kaplan. Can you tell us what's been going on and why it's so significant?
Well, Ivor Kaplan was the former MP for Hove. He was the first ever Labour MP for Hove from 1997 to 2005. And he was made a junior defence minister by Tony Blair. And he was there during the invasion of Iraq. And he was made a minister for veterans until he suddenly resigned in 2004, I think it was. And Labour had to find a replacement very quickly. But he was a Labour MP for, what, the best part of 8 years, I would say.
Now, he's been filmed really confessing effectively, even though there may be a court case. I don't think he's been charged yet. Maybe you can tell us whether he has or not. Do you know?
As far as I'm aware, there has been no charge at all.
But anyway, he was filmed by some people who were saying you were trying to meet a schoolboy in a train station, grooming them, basically. And there doesn't seem to have been very much action by the police. Now, we're seeing the similar sort of thing going on. It might be a stretching a point to make the comparison. But so we've just heard Rupert Murdoch making an out-of-court settlement with Prince Harry and Tom Watson. And they're saying, effectively, oh, by the way, we perjured ourselves all the way through the phone hacking inquiry. I mean, there seems to be a bit of a problem with political policing these days.
Well, the Met has their hands full trying to suppress Palestinian demonstrations and taking away our freedom of speech. I mean, when I was arrested in a Dawn raid over a year ago, about a dozen police came round with vans, you know. So their resources are thinly spread and they're concentrating more on attacking protesters and supporters of the Palestinians than minor matters like child sex offences, rape, which, you know, I mean, rape has virtually been decriminalised in Britain. I mean, your chances of being convicted and sent to prison for rape are minuscule, I think less than 1%. So, I mean, the police have to choose their priorities, and for the government, the clear priority is supporting the genocide in Palestine and not, you know, what Ivor Kaplan is up to in his spare time, or it would seem full-time, really. So, yes, he was caught in the sting by a vigilante group that specialises in this. Of course, the police wouldn't have done any such thing, even though Ivor Kaplan seems to have a psychological problem. I mean, his Twitter feed was just filled with pictures of naked men, penises erect, and so on and so forth. I mean, I've reprinted some of it on my blog, but with a clear warning to people who might be otherwise offended. But all of this, it was just a sewer, really. An overflowing sewer, but none of his colleagues, Tom Watson followed him, Gordon Brown followed him, all sorts of illustrious people followed Ivor Kaplan, and no one said a Dickie's birds, not least, of course, his ex-boyfriend and successor in Hove, Peter Kyle MP. So yes, I mean, there's been a kind of silence over Kaplan and his activities for quite some time.
Now I understand that you know, the police came round to your house. You know, their proceedings against you over this idea of a proscribed organisation. But I wonder if you're allowed to tell us about this. There seems to be a list of proscribed organisations. Trump has added to the list yesterday by adding the Yemeni government to the list of proscribed terrorist organisations. So we're now in a situation where one of the main actors internationally against the genocide that's been going on in Gaza, that is to say Ansar Allah and the Houthis, who are now running Yemen, that they are now apparently proscribed in a similar way to Hamas is proscribed. Something's going on here, Tony.
Yes, I mean, it's called the Terrorism Act, but it's not about terrorism. It's about who your political enemies are, in a sense. I mean, the Houthis could be accused of being the only government in the world which is trying to enforce international law against Israel, which is, you know, in Gaza, it's not been waging a war on Hamas, which is underground in safely in tunnels, as we saw when lots of them came out to escort the Israeli prisoners. They've been waging a war on the population, unless you really fall for the idea that Hamas had a base in every hospital, a command and control center in every hospital, in every school, in every reservoir that they've blown up and so on. Israel has been committing a whole series of war crimes and a genocide in Gaza. But if you support the resistance to the Israel, then that makes you an offender under British law. I mean, that's the upside-down world we live in.
Well, I must make it clear, I do support the resistance to genocide, any genocide, no matter who's committing it personally, and there are millions of us that do. So I wonder if there's enough space in Britain's prisons for us all, Tony.
Well, I don't think they'll be arresting everybody. I think what they want to do is cut off the heads of the Palestine Solidarity Movement, those people who articulate those feelings clearly. And they've gone for people like me, Natalie Strecker, Sarah Wilkinson, a journalist, Richard Medhurst, another journalist, and they've raided the house of Asa Winstanley of Electronic Intifada. So they are clearly attacking particular individuals in the hope that that will terrorize, to use a word, the rest of you into being silent.
Oh, I think we finally got to the bottom of what the Terrorism Act is really all about, spreading terrorism.
Yes. Yes.
We had a demonstration in central London on Saturday, really was picking up on the expose by Owen Jones and many others of the direct involvement of CIA front organisations in the BBC, Tony.
Well, quite, yes. I mean, government organisations are all over the BBC. We know that the Zionists are heavily involved, whether it's Rathberger, who came from the CIA, or any other individual. And the BBC's coverage is skewed because we know that the BBC are really, at one stage removed, the voice of the British establishment, and they reflect it in the language they use, the way they focus. For instance, when there was a hostage exchange, they focused on Israeli hostages, but not the thousands of Palestinian hostages who Israel's taken. I mean, that is the balance that we come to expect and love from the BBC. And naturally, the police saw it as their duty to protect them. And so they came out with this absurdly thin pretext that the marches were a threat to synagogues. We didn't even know where the synagogues were, and why should they be a threat? Are they implying that the marches are anti-Jewish? I mean, the whole thing stinks. The Met has been found lying through their teeth, and Sir Mark Rowley has to go. He is a dishonest Met commissioner who's lied, lied, and lied again. And the next day, he appeared before the Board of Deputies to boast about what he'd done. The Board of Deputies is an outspoken supporter of Israel's genocide, except to deny that it is a genocide, of course.
Can you tell us a bit more about the Board of Deputies of British Jews? Because this is an organisation which much of the establishment, certainly the London media, seem to accept is the voice of Judaism here in Britain, or Jewishness.
Well, yeah, I mean, a Board of Deputies doesn't represent secular Jews like myself. It has written into its constitution unstinting support for Israel. It's not elected. It consists of synagogue representatives, and only a minority of Jewish people in Britain go to synagogues. It doesn't represent the ultra-Orthodox. So, at best, it represents about 30% of British Jews. But it's always been the chosen instrument of the British establishment.
Look, we had all these arrests on Saturday of people for going near to the BBC. You know, that what they're being told is that they're being arrested because they are potentially terrorists, effectively. And there are so many now being arrested. Now, this was just on Saturday afternoon, but being bundled into police vehicles. One of them was just taking a message and a bunch of flowers to the BBC reception, and they're arrested for that.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Well, firstly, policemen aren't known for their ability to think about consequences. But secondly, of course, if an order is given to protect the BBC, that means protect it from the public. And so anyone who attempts on that occasion to approach them will be arrested. I mean, that, if you like, is part of what it was about. They were there to put a ring of steel around the BBC. So we see quite clearly the police know very well the role that the BBC plays, and they're there to ensure that no one gets any near it. I mean, what greater proof can you have that the BBC is anything but a neutral broadcasting station? So, I mean, in that sense, they've done our job for us. But the collaboration between the supporters of genocide and the Metropolitan Police, I should think, demonstrates that the police's claim to be neutral doesn't have a shred of justification.
Now, I know the concentration on the BBC by demonstrators is because it's supposed to be publicly accountable, but arguably, I would suggest that the Murdoch empire, that is to say things like Talk TV, Fox in the United States, etc., and of course their newspapers and radio stations, they are even more pro-Israeli. In fact, they absolutely refuse to even entertain the possibility that a genocide could be going on. And Murdoch himself seems to have some very close interests in Israel, financial interests as well as very, very close ties. So I wonder what you make of the fact yesterday that Murdoch's decided to pay this seven-figure sum to Tom Watson and to Prince Harry to keep any of this evidence of criminal activity out of the courts.
Well, that's right, of course. Literally, the Murdoch empire, which, of course, the police in past years in the Whopping dispute and so on have done their level best to protect, is a criminal enterprise. And yet there's been virtually no police investigation of what went on, because these are crimes. Hacking phones, computers and so on are criminal enterprises. But
well, what Alan Rushbridger has also pointed out is that it's quite obvious and clear now, as of yesterday, that the Murdoch empire and their employees have been perjuring themselves for the last decade by pretending this isn't going on. They've now admitted to Harry and Watson that it has.
Yes, I'm sure that's absolutely true. So is there going to be an investigation of the testimony given by these witnesses on oath and then prosecutions for perjury? I very much doubt it, because the police are more concerned with current day-to-day events and suppressing free speech and the right of a peaceful assembly. I mean, that is the police's priorities. When it comes down to it, the coercive duties of the police, which is called preserving the king's peace, come above everything. So when they talk about community policing, we know at the end of the day that it means anything but that.
Fascinating. Anyway, Tony, for people interested in following you, finding you, reading your blog, etc., buying your book, where's the best place to find you?
If you want to find me, if you want to buy the book, TonyGreenstein104@gmail.com. If you want to follow my blog, www.azvsas.blogspot.com or TonyGreenstein.com is my shadow blog, because I have another one just in case Google wind up my first one. So that's where you would find me.